Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's time.
For podcast.
For podcast. The one that you hit today. It's happening to you.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
Possibly the worst thing of all time. And I realize that that is a position that will never be solved. It's constantly duking it out. But in my opinion, these are the worst things that have ever existed.
Funko Pops?
No.
I'm out of ideas.
I got my Black Phillip Funko Pop right here on my desk, and I can't say that in front of him. No, we're going to talk about the 1970s kitsch hit Silly Sculpts. And this is actually a listener request on the Facebook group, too.
What is a Silly Sculpt?
So a Silly Sculpt, they are these horrible, generally beige figurines that depict a character in a pretty classic 1960s, 1970s comic style, which is to say ugly. And they have hideous, over-emoted faces, and the base usually has some kind of caption. For example, there is one where it's a dopey little kid that looks like Junji Ito tried to draw Precious Moments figurine.
Oh no.
And their arms are out wide, and it says, I love you this much.
Oh dear. Oh, very dear.
Do you know what we're talking about now, Ken?
No.
Oh, you don't have a memory of these things?
No. I was blissfully ignorant.
Okay, I'm going to send you a picture because I want you to hate them before we carry on.
Oh, okay.
And like, it seems like you don't have enough of, like, a memory of them.
You're just going to cast Invoke Hatred?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm casting Invoke Hatred. And possibly Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Oh, no. Oh, these things.
Okay, all right. I figured everyone knows them when they see them.
Yeah, they're wretched.
Probably the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, someone wanted to know more about these, and I was just disgusted enough to play into that. So now we all have to suffer.
Hopefully not someone who loves and collects these wanted to know more about them.
I'm kidding. Sort of. So it turns out this wasn't actually a formal request, it's just a thing that I saw and latched onto and ran with, so I apologize for blaming you for this, but thank you to Janae for sharing with us a lot of silly sculpts. This is your fault now.
Thanks.
Thank you for that. So, the story of a silly sculpt goes to 1963. With a toy salesman named Russ Berry, who decided that he didn't want to be a high-powered, successful toy salesman anymore, and opened a company out of his garage with $500 to his name.
Man, that's a wild time, huh?
God, do you remember when you could just start a business?
Remember when you could just start a podcast?
Touché. He was a marketing student. He had graduated from college to do business. I get really bored when people talk too much about the intricacies of studying business, but he'd had so much experience selling toys, he figured that he could target things that people would like. And he had all these contacts to get stuff directly from factories, so he was good to go. What he wanted to hone in on was the concept of impulse gift items. This was an extremely booming market in the 1960s. It was very novelty for the American people at the time. You just kind of think of that one aisle in CVS that sells, like, a bunch of cheap shit, and you go there because your kid has a birthday party to go to, and you want to bring something for the kid, but you know your kid doesn't like this kid, so you're not going to, like, waste a lot of time and money, so you go to CVS, and there's that one aisle that's, like, almost specifically for that.
This is a dark portrait you've painted.
It's not really that dark, because the kid also doesn't care.
It's pretty dark. You're going to ruin this innocent child's birthday just because your child isn't particularly fond of them, but is still fond enough to go to their party and eat their cake.
That's so rude that you would just assume the impulse gift items in CVS are going to ruin someone's day.
You just described them as cheap and awful and things you only buy if you don't care about someone.
It admittedly, it would. They are items that I think would be strange if you got them for someone that you loved deeply. But I mean, like, okay, maybe that's not fair because the thing is, if someone who didn't like me got me a Snuggie out of a sense of obligation, I would be, like, tight. But that's also because the stuff in CVS's weird aisle is better now. At the time, it was things like Silly Sculpts.
So, even worse.
Yeah. This is also the emergence of, like, these kitschy niche stores that unfortunately we have seen kind of more or less die over time. You know, the idea of a gift store used to be a thing. I feel like if you said that to someone who is 14 now, they would slap you across the mouth.
Yeah?
I don't think they exist anymore.
Have you been throwing hands at the teens at Hot Topic again?
Yeah, I keep saying old people stuff at them and they just punch me. It's horrible.
You just keep saying, remember Homestuck, and then they just five across the face.
Yeah, I'm like, I kin Carcat. And then it was just a tooth goes flying out of my mouth. I was thinking specifically of this store in Harvard Square that was legitimately, it called itself a gift store, and it was just full of weird, I would say delightfully weird shit. Spencer's, I guess, is the last remaining example of this. No one needs anything that's in Spencer's.
How dare you?
You don't need it. I'm sorry, you don't need to grow a boyfriend.
I do, however, need the crystal ball with lightning inside.
That's fair. That is on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, yeah. I talked to him. I was like, Maslow, you gotta fix it. And he did.
And he was like, you're right.
Yeah, he actually knocked out meaningful emotional relationships for that one.
Valid.
So with this being the up and coming idea of niche gift stores and dumb bullshit, Hallmark was coming up, and Hallmark actually will play into this pretty heavily. He saw impulse gift items being like a thing that he specifically could do better than anyone else. And he had three tenets for how this would work. They have to be affordable, they have to be eye-catching, and they have to evoke literally any kind of emotional response in the viewer. Here is where my disdain for Silly Sculpts turns into respect.
Respect is a strong word.
I walked into this thinking that Silly Sculpts looked the way they did because it was the 1960s and no one was allowed to be happy. So I think that they're ugly because that elicits a response.
Oh, we're getting into so ugly it's cute territory, or so ugly I have to buy it for a laugh territory.
Exactly.
Oh my god, did he invent irony?
I think he invented the ironic purchase.
Oh no! It's all his fault! It's him to blame!
It's him!
He is the toy salesman, the witch who set this flame!
I can't believe he did this. Because even when I review my own buying patterns, I of course do this. I find something so absolutely horrendous that I say, well, I've gotta own it. And that is the entire business acumen behind Silly Sculpts.
Oh god, no.
And big surprise, it did really, everything he did extremely well. He started out before Silly Sculpts with these things called Fuzzy Wuzzies, which were just pom-poms with little faces.
And then they brought them back when I was in middle school.
Did they really?
They really did.
Whoa.
They were fundraiser prizes.
Specifically the branded Fuzzy Wuzzies?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. So he made those, which Ken is apparently intimately acquainted with. Followed shortly by these really, really hideous rubbery dolls called the Bupkis family that just kind of look like what would happen if you flesh crafted a Muppet.
Oh no. Oh no.
And these were paired with these like fake trophies that said things like world's best lover, which would pave the way for what Silly Sculpts eventually became. Silly Sculpts actually resemble trophies in a lot of ways, and a lot of their earliest ones and best-selling ones just said things like world's best mom and sexiest grandpa.
Yeah?
I don't know that last one's a real one. Don't at me about that one. There is a real one that is a guy and his head is surrounded with the letter S and X, and the base says, guess what's on my mind?
Ha, the letter E, the most common vowel in the English language. Who isn't thinking of it?
Nice. One of my favorite things that, and this was said by Russ Berry himself, at the start of the Vietnam War, they became one of the most popular things to send to soldiers overseas.
That's horrifying. Weren't they suffering enough?
That was my response. But then Russ Berry would like to say, we deal with warmth, affection, friendship, and love. That's nicer than napalm.
Okay.
Inarguably correct.
I mean, technically, sure.
Yes. So Silly Sculpts were extremely popular. Eventually, they funded the expansion to a huge headquarters in New Jersey, which the company would go on to do manufacturing for stuff for Disney. He invented trolls. That'll probably get its own episode eventually, because that's also a weird story. And the range of things that Silly Sculpts began to congratulate or say was just... It went from, like, you did good in school and I'm proud of you, to, what if I killed a man with this hammer? That's also not a real one, but it may as well. There's also a knight-shaped one that says, once a king, always a king, but once a knight is enough. And I feel like that's a dirty joke, but I can't parse it.
I think it means you only have to fuck your spouse once a night.
That's a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I think the modern collector's market is really enamored of a lot of their edgier stuff. The one that keeps coming up is a lawyer figure that just says, sue the bastards. And I'm trying to imagine what last-minute gift that needs to be.
Law school graduation, clearly.
Yeah, I guess so. That was back when people could afford college. Hey-oh. There's also this absolutely wonderful quote on a now-defunct site. This is my favorite thing I've ever found while researching. Speaking as a 52-year-old survivor of Generation X, these figurines are once ubiquitous offerings in gift shops, drugstores, and supermarkets. My father bought several for my mother, I suppose as relationship lubricant. They sit on a desk or windowsill, selling their sappy little message with innocent cheek for year upon year. Mom kept hers after Dad bugged out to marry her best friend, which says something about their winning appeal. Dad's photos hit the trash, but not these figurines.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you, anonymous commenter, for your contribution to the conversation.
Incredible.
So, do you want to collect these now?
No.
Oh. Too bad. You're going to learn how to collect these now. I thought that maybe I had won you over now. That's not the case.
What about these are technically better than napalm, did you think would win me over?
Because, I don't know.
So how do I collect these?
The really good news is that they never got expensive. Hooray!
Did they ever go out of production?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Not until the 90s.
Wow. When Lisa Frank reigned.
Yeah, well, she took over with colors. These things weren't best known for their colors.
They were not. But they were silly and sculpted.
I found a buyer who suggested that you never pay more than $2 for one, which is, in my opinion, good advice.
That sounds like Beanie Baby rules to me, my dude.
They are, yeah. They were horrendously mass-produced. They're really cheap. Some of the rarest ones are literally just, like, $20. You can get hundreds of them for less than that, I bet. Although, like, there are, like, one or two, like, collector's status ones. The I Love You This Much that I described is one of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You mean the thing that's on every Hallmark card since the company was founded?
Yeah, but if you get the original, Russ Berry silly sculpt of it, that one's worth some money. To people who care about silly sculpts. Which is, admittedly, a small market. Other rare ones, which again, don't get it twisted, when I say rare, I mean $20, would be anything with an unusual color. So usually silly sculpts were this really awful beige, occasionally lilting into, like, off ivory. But if you can find one in blue, pink, bright red, anything to alleviate the gloom of the rest of them, those are worth maybe $6 instead of $2.
They triple the price.
That's an investment. Another thing is silly sculpts that have little attached accessories that have survived the years. This actually is most commonly beer bottles, which I think is a little grim, but can also include glasses, little hearts, candles, and, alarmingly, their eyes.
Oh.
Confronted with the fact that someday I'm going to go to Savers and find one of these little horrors eyeless is haunting me. One really interesting thing about collecting these things is the most valuable collectible related to silly sculpts is actually if you can find a catalog.
Yeah?
These were made at the very dawn of disposability culture. They were never meant to stick around for terribly long. And as such, people who are interested in collecting them, however small a group that might be, are having difficulty. They are numbered, but the numbers are meaningless without the original documents to compare them to.
Oh.
Yeah, so if when a company shuts down or if a company just kind of jettisons a product, the sales catalogs become the most useful guide possible for dating and verifying and attaching numbers to images. So the Russ Berry catalogs are very valuable. There was at one point a Yahoo group specifically for people who collected, were very serious about collecting this. I don't know where to find it because Yahoo groups shut down in December. I'm assuming the group had to move somewhere else. If you guys know where they are, let me know. I need to see what they're doing.
If you know which Usenet chat they're using, write in.
Yeah, is it like group.io? Like,
if you know which Angel Fire web ring they've moved to.
Yeah, they've got to be somewhere, because they seemed pretty organized.
If you can figure out which IRC channel they're talking in.
Are they on a muck? Have they launched a muck to speak to each other?
I love how this conversation is completely incomprehensible to both ends of our audience.
I know. Oh my god. Wow. We've alienated everyone except
for
people.
We've done it. We've alienated every listener. Congratulations.
Shout out to whatever small percentage of our listeners is A, in our age group and it was so extremely online early enough that they understand any of what we're saying.
Shout out to Ian.
It's got to be like four of you. Yeah, shout out to Ian.
Shout out to Ian. Shout out to John. Shout out to Shayla.
Yeah, hey guys.
Oh no.
So, one of the major problems with silly sculpts is that you can't patent the concept of a picture of literally any human being saying literally any combination of words. So none of these ever got patented or copyright controlled in any way, shape, or form, which means there were a lot of competitors.
Oh.
One thing I found is that the competitors never managed to be as uniquely ugly as a silly sculpt.
It's hard to do ugly on purpose.
It is. Well, I feel like Barry really, like, knocked that out of the park. The competitors are really questionable. The main two competitors that we're going to talk about today you're most likely to run into are going to be CM Pollico and American Greetings. Yes, that American Greetings.
That American Greetings? Did you yes, have... Okay, D, speaking of computer programs no one remembers, did you have the American Greetings card creator software?
You know I did, man.
Did you also use it to make clip art comics and fake newspapers?
You know I did, man. I also had my own personal line of greeting cards for my family's occasions that I had my own little logo.
Oh.
And the byline under the logo was "because I care sometimes."
Oh.
And I would painstakingly download the worst, like, clip art possible to just create an incomprehensible mess on the front. And it would be like, so you know how I do that thing where, like, usually for someone's birthday, I'll get them a card that says, like, "happy fifth birthday, nephew."
But it's for our 35-year-old friend.
Yeah, for my 35-year-old friend.
I think once I got one from you that said, like, "world's best grandson" or something.
I did. Yes, I did. I did. This was a copy of a viral internet video, but I did also get a children's cartoon birthday card that said, "congratulations, you're turning Christmas."
Amazing.
I did that. That started very early with me. And I was drunk on power being able to put in whatever words I wanted.
Baby's first Photoshop.
I swear to God, one day we're going to have to do a separate episode entirely on the American Girl make your own play software.
Oh,
that I
no.
desperately wish still existed somewhere.
Okay, we have gone wildly off yeah, topic. Yeah. We have to turn this train around.
I can't enjoy all this B-side to put in the Patreon.
Oh no, this is going straight in the regular episode. You have no idea.
Fuck yeah.
American Greetings was a competitor to Silly Sculpts before they branched out into home software.
Yeah. Like I was saying, they're really distinguishable on an aesthetic level because American Greetings could never really bring themselves to make them ugly on purpose, which is the worst possible kind of ugly, which is ugly by accident.
Oh no!
You can see the designers in American Greetings are trying to keep it very cherubic,
oh,
and but still trying to push it out into that 1970s kitsch.
Oh, this can only go poorly.
So those are really easy to spot at a distance. CM Paula and co. are more difficult, but luckily, even for this topic, which I have unfortunately given no seriousness, I can help you tell the difference. A CM Paula co. will always be a lighter color, almost closer to a real white instead of whatever aged in a basement yellow Silly Sculpt was going for.
Wow.
And they're very, very lightweight. Now, both the American Greetings and the Genuine Silly Sculpts have a little rubber stopper underneath felt lining, and they're filled with sand so that they won't knock over. CM Paula & Co. doesn't get that. Here's one thing where I can absolutely say that if you're shopping for these, they're going to be next to each other because there's going to be an entire table full. You can just pick up a Silly Sculpt and feel the, like, very bottom heavy weight, And then if the one next one you pick up doesn't have anything like that, that's a fake.
I see.
American Greetings did copy this waiting, but like I said, American Greetings very meticulously stamped everything. So, I mean, I buried the lead on this a little bit because the other thing is that both American Greetings and Russell Berry are meticulously marked and stamped with the name, date, and item number. So
American Greetings is proud of what they'd wrought.
American Greetings wanted to make sure that when you picked up one of them, you knew who had done this to you.
That's horrifying.
Tell them American Greetings sent you.
Incredible.
And that is all I have to say on that. Sources today include McCall.com. Silly sculpt figures are fun, but not much of an investment.
Listen, if you get it for two, you can flip it for six. That is a 3x increase, my man. You tripled your investment.
Yeah, it is the barest example of an investment. Powerpop.blog and fashiondesign.popcult.com and encyclopedia.com, which is like a thing, it turns out.
Huh.
Yeah, it had a whole article on Russ Berry's business history.
There you go. If you would like to show us your silly sculpts or other collections, or would just like to say hello, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, or tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you liked all the things that we said with our mouths, consider scrolling on down to where you're listening to this podcast and leaving us a review. How many stars will you give us? What an exciting mystery for all involved.
If you would like to purchase some vintage goods or t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them, you can head over to our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks. Yes, it's finally back online.
It's up, and I'm adding things as I can figure out what the hell I'm looking at.
My current favorite item in stock is the vintage 1920s Ramses condoms.
The condoms are still inside. They are not usable.
Don't use them. Simply collect and enjoy them. If you would like to listen to deleted scenes or watch Drag King Guy Alias do readings of our Victorian fashion guide, The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy, or if you would like to listen to our ongoing bonus episode presentation of the Penny Dreadful, Varna the Vampire, or the Feast of Blood, wherein our most recent episode includes our dear friend Tara and Charles Holland's two gay uncles, we're not kidding.
We're not making this up.
You can find all of this at our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening. Au revoir.
Goodbye.